Grief has a sound. Sometimes it's a whimper at the door, the jingle of a collar long put away, or the familiar thump of paws that shouldn't still be echoing down the hallway. Tonight, on the Paranormal 360, we're exploring love that doesn't end with a heartbeat. Messages from the pets who've crossed over and the signs they leave behind to let us know they're still with us. Our guest, Rob Guttrow, is a scientist, author, paranormal investigator, and medium who bridges that unseen world between people and their animals. He's learned that energy, not death, is what connects us forever. So, can our pets really reach out from the other side? We're about to find out. And joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, our guest for this first hour, Rob Guttrow. Rob, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Talk to me a little bit about your abilities, and when did you realize that you could connect with animals? And more importantly, can you connect with living and crossed animals?
So I'll answer that question first. And that would be no. I can only connect with animals who have crossed over.
Okay.
Although I do understand what my dogs are asking.
Yeah, we all learn that lesson pretty early on, don't we?
Yes. Yeah, we sure do.
Let me ask you, what do you think is the difference in that? That once they've left the physical form, they're easy to communicate with. It's the same soul. It's the same intelligence. I would think that that would be something that would kind of, you know, kind of fit both sides of the spectrum.
It does. I think that there are certain people that focus on the living animals, and I call those animal communicators.
Mm-hmm.
And I just call myself a pet medium. So I'm trying to narrow my scope.
Sure.
Because right now the demand is overwhelming to communicate with pets that have passed. So, but I do know people who do communicate with living pets, and I actually had a reading from one of them who did a great job with one of our dogs, our rescue dogs. So
phenomenal. Now I've had quite a few pets throughout my life. I've had a few experiences where, man, I believe they are still here. I've felt something brush past my leg, or sometimes even push up against my face at night, like my cat used to do.
Yeah.
It's always these strange little things. And to be honest with you, Rob, I had a very panicky moment at the beginning of this week. My son had a bunch of his friends over, and as they were leaving, they shut the door, but it kind of bounced back open, and three of our fur babies got out of the house. Luckily, two of them, we were able to go out and round them up, but my best buddy, he vanished, and I couldn't find him anywhere. I was just beside myself. I finally went to bed probably about 1:30 in the morning, and I woke up at 3. And I felt like I was choking on a cat hair, to be honest with you. It was like that kind of weird tickle. And so I got up and I took a drink of water. And then I thought, what if this is a sign? And I went downstairs and I opened the front door and I had my flashlight. Nope, he's not there. All right, I walk over and I check the back and I pull back the curtain, and he's sitting there staring up at me waiting to get let in. So what a relief. But it was weird because, like, as soon as I found him, the tickle was gone. The hair was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Wide awake, wide, you know, he's very much alive, hadn't crossed over here. Am I fishing here, or was that, do you think that was kind of a psychic connection with him?
Yeah, no, I don't think you're fishing at all. So how many cats do you have on the other side?
Oh boy, over the span of my lifetime, I've got quite a few cats on the other side.
Okay.
Probably four or five.
Okay. So what that sounds like happened was one of the cats from the other side, and that was most closely bonded with you, came to you when you were sleeping to let you know that your other cat was in the back, at the back door. And typically what they will do too is they will also come around at certain times. So, and I find that's tied to their angel number. Angel number is a number assigned from spirit for each particular person or pet. And so that whatever cat that is in spirit that woke you up was tied to the number 3. So whenever you see the number 3, it's that same cat
that's going to
be around you. Yeah. So also it makes sense that cat in spirit led your other cat back to the door so that you would be able to find it. So there's a lot going on there.
When did you first realize you could communicate with the spirits of an animal?
Well, it was 2005, and it was after my puppy Buzz passed away. He was a Weimaraner, and his leash opened. It was a tragedy. Mm. When I was walking him, he was killed by a car right in front of me. And it was as soon as when I finally got his body back to the house, everything started. He gave me musical signs. Over time, he would move things. I would see another dog that looked like him. I'd see shadows. I'd hear his feet on the floor. So he was teaching me how he was communicating. And that became the impetus for my first book, to teach other pet parents.
Pets in the Afterlife. Now you're up to 4 books in that series. Is that right?
Yeah, up to 4. The last two are... number 3 is about dogs only. Number 4 is about cats only. And the last two actually also have a chapter in them that the others don't, which are chapters by professionals that deal with people who are suffering grief and loss. And I happen to have 2 friends. One is a medical psychologist. The other one is a social worker. And they each graciously wrote a chapter on how best to cope with grief and loss, especially with a pet.
And I know that's a tough deal. I've had this year, my father passed away on the 4th of July. And one my fur buddies passed away on the 30th or 31st of July, whatever the final day of that month was. And we lost our dog last year. So it's been kind of this little ongoing tragedy of loss. But having lost pets throughout the years, like I said, I've had strange experiences from time to time. Mm-hmm. There are times that people talk to me and report to me about their pets reacting to something we can't see. I've seen my cats leaping around and playing as though they're playing with another cat and wrestling. Is this just a rambunctious kitten, or is it playing with the spirit of one of our past animals?
Yeah, that would be playing with the spirit of one of your past animals. So in my Pets in the Afterlife 1 book, I delved into the science because I'm a scientist. Well, I was in my day job. I retired happily. I recommend it, by the way. I recommend retirement. So I delved into the science behind how it would be possible for animals to see or communicate with those in spirit. And what I've learned is they have different cones and rods in their eyes. And cones and rods in their eyes, the cones and rods are things that enable us to see brightness and faster movement. And as a paranormal investigator also, I know that we can use high-speed cameras to catch movement of earthbound ghosts. But dogs and cats don't need that. They can see them head on. Also, they can hear at different frequencies than we can. If you think of a dog whistle, we can't hear a dog whistle. But of course, the dogs can and the cats can. And using a digital recorder, I know on paranormal investigations, I would ask questions and I didn't hear anything audibly, but I would play it back and it'd pick up different frequency and provide an answer. So they can hear them and they can see them directly, and they can interact with spirits who visit.
Rob Guttrow is our guest for this first hour. He is an author. He's a pet medium. We're going to continue our discussion regarding pets in the afterlife. What are some of the strangest stories that Rob has been a part of? We'll talk about that next on the Paranormal 360. All right, Rob Guttrow, let's dive into this. You can talk to pets. Does that mean that when you're out in the wilderness, ghosts of bear, deer, and snakes are slithering around you as well? Or are pets more the strict domesticated cats, birds, dogs? Where do you fit in with that?
So I fit in with the domesticated ones.
Okay.
So I cannot communicate with wild animals. And the reason I can communicate with domesticated animals is because they live with us. They know our habits. They know our emotions. They learn our words. So they know our routine and so forth. So they have something that can relate to us. You know, a bear would never be able to relate to me. So
the domesticated versions, but does that mean you have been called forward regarding a snake, a pet snake, something along those lines?
So, Dave, I draw the line at snakes and spiders. I don't, I'm like that Jim Stafford song. I don't like spiders and snakes. And because of my fear of them, that would probably block messages from them. So, but yeah. I've done rats and gerbils and, you know, butt rabbits and ferrets and all kinds of stuff.
Very cool. Let's talk about some of the experiences. I mean, do you have to be like clued in? When you're connecting with a client like Dave Schrader, and am I telling you specifically what I'm looking for, who I'm looking for? If you show up at my house and we're buddies, do you still see the ghost cat zipping around, or do you have to be in that mode?
So for me, I have to get into a concentration mode. I have to be not distracted by things. So when I do pet readings, I do them at home. I do them in the seclusion of my own office. And what I do is I ask for the pet's picture and the pet's name and any, you know, a couple of questions that the pet parent may have. I also like to know who the pet parents are so that in case, you know, the pet wants to address one versus the other, that helps, but that's it. And then basically what happens is the pet will do a download of information, and then by the time I get to their questions, most of the questions are already answered.
So, gotcha. All right. Yeah. And when you get these bits of information, I mean, I know mediums that talk to the living dead humans, and that's a hard thing because it comes to every medium in a different way. What's it like when there's no basic line of communication between humans and animals? It's not like we're speaking the same language, although they may have learned some of our cues and hints and the ways our voices work when we're happy, sad, angry. But what kind of, how does the message come through to you from these spirits, these animals?
So they can share visual images to me. They make me feel the emotions, and they can show me images of like places that they've been or toys that they've had. In one particular reading I did, I kept seeing a blue toy, and then I heard the word elephant, and I put it in a reading, and the pet mom wrote me back, and she said a blue elephant was one of my dog's favorite toys. I've never seen a stuffed blue elephant, but there it was. So they can share things that they have experienced.
Okay. And when they come through, I would guess, being a pet parent myself, that has had to make a couple of rough decisions in my life, I would guess probably one of the number one questions you get asked is, are they mad at me? Did I let them go too soon? Right? It's got to be mostly guilt laden.
There's a lot of guilt. Sure. So I have 5 dogs on the other side, and I had to make that unfortunate decision with 4 of them. And I've always felt guilty and felt awful, and it's just natural to do so. But my biggest message to pet parents is that we get a lot of thanks from our pets on the other side. They're grateful to help them pass out of pain. They're also grateful that we found the courage to do that. And it also means that we have learned their lesson, ultimate lesson of unconditional love.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of the key ways people could look for these signs from their pets? And do all pets do this, or are they like humans? Some like to hang around and some they're off into the ether.
So what I typically found is that within the first 2 to 4 weeks after a pet passes, that's generally the time that they really try to get through to us, because they know that's the time that we really need to get some kind of sign from them. Mm-hmm. So it could be a dream. Dreams are the easiest way for pets to communicate from the other side because our logical mind is asleep. It could be leading us to another pet that looks like them, whether you see that animal on the internet or see the up in person. You may hear their name mentioned if you're out shopping, for instance, or something. You may see a shadow in the house. You may hear them in the house, a jingle, a bark, a meow. You may feel them on the bed. cats are notorious for walking across the end of a bed, and you're a cat dad. So I was doing one reading for a cat, and suddenly three of the books fell off my bookshelf behind me. And I jumped as I and I said, there was nobody behind me, of course. And that the cat then just, I sensed the cat jump up on my desk. And I was like, okay, so you did this when you were at home. This is what you used to do in life. And that's basically what happens. Look for what they did in life to give you a sign from the afterlife.
That's usually a good indicator that they're there and with you. I've tried to ease some people's thoughts when they, you know, dealing with the dead for humans or their favorite pets. They're like, I haven't had a visitation. I don't feel them around me. I don't do this. And I've often, when I push comes to shove, I'll say, so Rob, what was your relationship like? I mean, did your cat or dog know you loved him? Oh yeah. We cuddled all the time. I was always telling him how much I love him, how handsome, how, you know, and I'm like, okay, well maybe there's nothing left to say. Maybe you guys shared all the love you had in life. And now it's just time for him to go do what he has to do next. Or is it that our grief and our sense of loss can be so heavy that we miss the signs of something returning? Because I would think that's when we would be most able to see them.
Interestingly enough, so this is about energy and emotional energy versus physical energies. Grief is a negative emotional energy. Spirit is positive emotional energy. If the spirit does not have enough energy to draw from, your grief acts as a wall and they cannot get through that grief. So sometimes they will come to somebody else. And in one case, a woman told me that her husband only dreamed of her dog that had passed. And she was actually angry at her husband because the dog came through to him instead of her. And I had to explain to her that she was, you know, deeply grieving.
And did that seem to calm her down a little bit to understand that it's that grief that might be putting that roadblock in?
Well, you know, Dave, I did it by email, so she never replied after that.
Okay. Well, I want to talk. Let's talk a little bit about that, not just for our pets, but for anything, anybody that we lose. If this grief is so heavy and strong, which is understandable because we've lost somebody or something that meant a lot to us, what can we do to start to even that out so that we can have these experiences? We can see our friends. We can revisit with our loved ones in that sense of knowing that they're around us. We'll talk more with Rob Guttrow when we return. And we do have a link for Rob on today's program guide. And I hope you'll check it out and get his books. Remember, don't just buy the books, read the books. And more importantly, rate and review the books. Because every time you do that, it goes a long way to help these authors get seen by a bigger audience. Okay, Rob, as we continue our journey dealing with the loss of pets and loved ones and such, we'd open it up to grief in the last segment. What can we do to start helping ourselves heal a little faster after the loss of a loved one, be it furry friend or flesh and blood, you know, human that we knew, so that we can start to be more aware of those moments that they do try to make themselves known to us?
There are a number of things that I would suggest. And one is to create a memorial to your pet, whether it's an outside memorial, like a rock garden with some flowers, or something inside, maybe have a picture with their collar. You can walk by it and say hello and, you know, good night or whatever. A friend of ours made a 3D image of our dog Tyler that just passed July 29th this year. And we have it in a nightlight in our, before we go outside and when we come back in. And I always say hello to Tyler. It really helps to see his face. So that helps. One of the other things I would suggest too, is that if your pet has a toy, one of their favorite toys, if you are really in a deep grief, take the toy and put it on your nightstand, even put it on your bed, even take it to bed with you, put it in your bed and hug it. Because that gives you some kind of comfort, like a physical comfort, contact. And Dave, I'm going to tell you right now that when our dog Tyler passed in July, I took his four favorite toys and I put them on my bed. my dog Dolly passed on October 20th, 2020. I still have her favorite yellow Woodstock stuffed toy on my bed. These are my heart dogs, and heart dogs are the ones that are most close to you.
Sure.
So memorials are one thing. You can also donate to an animal rescue. You can adopt on behalf of your cat or dog that passed away. Frequently, people do adopt, usually within a month or two. And although, you know, it's not about replacing. And that's one thing that people say to me. Well, I don't want to replace my dog or cat. It's not replacing. They know they can't be replaced. They're in spirit waiting for you. But they also know from spirit, there are a lot of animals that never experienced the love that you gave them and they deserve.
Yeah, I've tried to do that as well. We do rescue animals in our family. And, you know, when one passes, there's always that moment of, I don't want my past buddy to feel like I could replace them this quickly. But I, you know, in honor of Walker, in honor of Ginger, in honor of Jack, you know, I can bring the love to another fur friend and help them out with that. A lot of people are looking for that reincarnated version. And do you think that happens often where, you know, the cat that you've got now, this new kitten that you just found that looks so similar to your old cat or acts similar to your old cat, could there be reincarnation within your lifetime over and over with pets?
Well, anything's possible. You know, I don't know the answers to all that. But what I have learned for the most part is that our pets will wait for us on the other side. And then they will lead us to the next pet that we are supposed to adopt. And I will give you a personal story about that. when our dog Franklin passed away in May 8th, 2020, he was a red smooth dachshund. And if you've ever known a dachshund, they can be extremely stubborn. Mm-hmm. If you look up stubborn in the dictionary, there's Franklin's picture because he was pretty bullheaded.
Okay.
And he was the only dog we ever had that would snarl, you know, for a little guy. So Franklin passed, and then we lost Dolly 5 months later. The next year, around May, April, we decided that we were going to adopt another dog. And it would be a dachshund or a dachshund mix from a rescue. So we found one online. He was 10 years old. And we don't know his story, but he was the one that we were drawn to. So we went and picked him up. Long story short, he is just like Franklin. Now, he is the most stubborn, bullheaded little 7-pound terror. You know, and he snarls and he snaps and he has bitten me 17 times.
But who's counting?
Yeah, but who's counting? Yeah. And you know, he was 10 when we got him, and that was a year after Franklin had passed. So there was no way that the dog could have been a reincarnation, but Franklin has been teaching him what to do so that we would know that Franklin is still with us in spirit. And that's what I find our dogs and cats will do. They'll train your new dog or cat to do something they used to do.
That's pretty cool. You know, and what are your thoughts on, you know, I think this cat is my grandpa. I think, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that believe that their animals that come into their lives were once their parents or a child that they lost, a good friend. Is that a thing? Can we choose to reincarnate and come back as a pet?
Well, I know I would, but but it's been my experience that animals really stay in the animal kingdom and people stay in the human kingdom. So I've not, you know, one thing somebody asked me that question before and I said, look, if you're at work and you lean over your cubicle and you look at your cubicle mate and he's there licking his paws, licking his hand, then you know he was a cat in a previous life. I never see. And and if you want to know if they were a dog in a previous lifetime, that would be very embarrassing the way they greet each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a definite clue that you might be dealing with the reincarnation of Rex if their first indication is to try to sniff you in places that would make the rest of the world real uncomfortable. pets, man, they, you know, I always feel weird calling them a pet, fur baby, fur friends. Those things, obviously, you feel better about, because I don't, truthfully, in our house, I don't know who the real owner is. I'm pretty sure I'm the pet, and these little hairy miscreants are the overlords of my life, because they do seem to run things around here. You know, I have felt like I've been in the same soul circle with a few of my animals, in honesty, you know, that they've come back to me in one way, shape or another. But it's interesting that you're saying that sometimes they might be there to kind of teach the other, you know, the spirit animal teaching the new flesh and blood animal how to communicate with you, to let them know that they're close by. And I often wonder, when we deal with human ghosts, is part of the reason that they stay here because of their fear of disappointing us? Is it our need and want and desire to keep them here that will anchor a spirit? And can we do that to our pets' spirits as well?
Generally, I found that 99.5% of pets cross over. And the reason for that is that think about how a pet lives. They're very instinctual. So, you know, they know if somebody walks in your house and they're not a good person. Cats will arch their back, or they'll be away from it. And dogs too. Dogs know exactly. So that said, they also know that when they pass and they have that choice where they can stay earthbound as what I call a ghost, or cross over into the light as what I call a spirit, they can sense the peace and the love and the calmness of the other side. So 99.5% of them cross over. In the 20 years I've been doing this, there's only been about four earthbounds that I've encountered. And there are two cats and two dogs. And one of the dogs stayed behind because he was very attached to his mom. The mom passed. The dog still stayed. The dog still stays, loves to greet people when people come into his house, which is now a museum.
Wow. I love these kind of stories. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back. Rob Guttrow, our guest. We have one more segment together before we move on to hypnotherapy, regression, and facing our own spiritual spirits, aliens, and more on the Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program. And if you are, like Rob and I, you are a fur baby parent and have lost a fur baby along the way, maybe one, two, three, or many more, depending on how many you like to rescue and take care of, and you're left with those thoughts. Do they miss me? Do they love me? Was I good enough? Did I treat them well enough? Do you ever get messages back, Rob, from the spirit animals that are like, no, they really kind of missed the boat, man. I really needed more ear scratching. I felt that they really let me down in the butt thumping and chin scratches. You know, I mean, do you ever get feedback like that? Or is it always just unadulterated love from these animals?
It's mostly love. But the ones that were rescues that people didn't know their backstory, they have actually shared backstories with me. And some of them have come from abusive situations. So that's really hard to hear, because I've been working with animal rescues for the last 20 years, doing fundraisers and adoptions and fostering and all that stuff. And that's the only time that I hear a pet really sad about the treatment that they had.
You know, I've watched pet parents, and I've seen the kind of look some people give them when a cat, it was just a cat. Why is he so out of place? Why is he so bothered by this? Why do you think it is some people just can't grasp how deeply rooted these beautiful little creatures can be in our lives? Cats, birds, dogs, lizards, snakes, turtles, whatever it is. How do people still miss that element of what love is?
Well, Dave, that's exactly the reason why I decided that I would not read humans in spirit who have crossed over. Because pets are all about love. Humans have too many issues. They have too many hangups. And humans are pretty selfish, really. It really does take a pet to teach them what unconditional love means. Because usually, you know, as we grow up and you start dating, love comes with conditions. It always seems to, but not with pets. So unfortunately, it's people who don't have pets that I find are more distant, more untrusting. You know, you can always judge a person by their pet.
You've seen, I'm sure, some of these beautiful stories where, you know, that video that went around for a while, the man that passed away, and his German Shepherd would go to the grave and lay down and just sob.
Yes.
Now, this was long before AI videos, so I firmly believe what we're watching. Animals do feel that loss, don't they? When one of us, one of their parents, their good friends are gone, they know that it's a different world now.
They do. So if you can, and you know that your dog or cat is going to pass, it'd be important to bring them with you when you help the pet pass. We just did that with our dog, Tyler, so that our other two dogs would know what happened. And they can sense it when they're sick, too. The grief is real. So they experience the same exact emotions that we do. And I can tell you a quick little story about how one of our dogs that was bonded to Tyler was actually got an actual sign from him that was pretty amazing.
Please.
Okay, so our dog Dash is a dachshund chihuahua mix. He's 17 and a half years old. He's mostly 90% blind. He can only see shadows in one eye, and he can only see when it's bright out of that one eye, 10%. Mm-hmm. So he was bonded to Tyler. He would do everything Tyler did. He played, he ate, he actually could even do agility. When Tyler did agility, he would follow him. He would follow him through. We have a little pathways in behind our house in a wooded area. After Tyler passed, 1 week after Tyler passed, Dash was roaming around off leash because we were far away from everybody. And he walked down the wooden pathway all the way down, which was 3/4 acre, all the way down this wooded path, past Tyler's memorial to the end, turned around, walked the main road and the main path rather, and then walked the path back without stumbling anywhere. So I knew that he was following Tyler in spirit.
Wow, that's beautiful. There is a very famous photograph that was taken. This young man passed sadly in a car accident along with a few of his friends on the way home from a hockey tournament. What was really stellar about these photographs was that they are police photographs that were taken at the time at the crime or mm-hmm. scene. And there is strange lights and mists and things the police could not understand. And in one image, there appears to be the boy kind of crying out, but off to his side is a black lab. It looks like a black lab sitting there. When I was with my own mom, as she was passing over 9 years ago, he kept talking about the animals that were coming into the room. And then she would kind of glance at me like, oh, you're going to think I'm nuts. And she'd stop talking about it. But I mean, to hear stories like this and realize that they're still there, they're still among us, and they are letting us know that the love hasn't ended just with the end of their physical forms.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a chilling story, Dave.
Yeah.
It just gave me goosebumps.
There's been so many. I mean, it's really amazing to hear the tales that are out there. And you've got 4 books out on pets in the afterlife. We again have a link up for Rob on today's program guide so that you can find that and go out and pick up his books. What is the main takeaway? And we've got about a minute left together here, but what's the main takeaway you really want to leave listeners and readers with when they go through these books?
The main takeaway is that they have the ability to recognize signs. Don't dismiss anything. What I've learned from spirit is that there's no such thing as a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. Also, there are many other ways to look for signs other than what I've written about. I've written as many as I could. Just trust your feelings. That's the bottom line. If you sense your cat around, your cat is around. Also be aware of birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. They do come around those times because they read our emotional energy, which is elevated. So especially be aware of those and ask them to come into your dreams.
You can invite them in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You can.
If only people could love each other the way animals love us, right? Oh, no. And the love that we have back for them. Rob, thank you so much for coming on tonight and spending some time here with us.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
What we heard tonight reminds us that love, pure, unconditional love, is the one energy that never really fades. Whether it comes from a dream, fleeting scent, or the soft brush of fur that isn't really there, our pets still find ways to let us know we're not alone My thanks to Rob Guttrow for sharing his insight, compassion, and experiences from Pets and the Afterlife, the book series. Pick it up for yourself. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about hypnotherapy and uncovering the supernatural secrets hidden within us next on the Paranormal 360.